Welcome, everyone, to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We are proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I'm sorry if the audio is a little funky today. The studio has been giving me a hard time, especially after two lovely Comcast outages in my neighborhood this week. But I have a great guest today. His name is Ronald L. Smith. He writes young adult, and I think just adult, fantasy books. His first novel was called Hoodoo, and he was the recipient of the 2016 Coretta Scott King John Steptoe New Talent Author Award. And then he also received an ILA Award for Intermediate Fiction from International Literacy Association. You may or may not be familiar with his books because he's also written Black Panther, The Young Prince. He wrote The Mesmerist. And the book we're talking about today is called The Owls Have Come to Take Us Away. I want to welcome Ron Smith to the show. Hi, Ron. How are you today?
Hi, Pam. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. It's very kind of you to spend some time with me. Congratulations on the release of your new book. I love the design of this book. It's just creepy enough that I wanted to read it, and it's the colors are beautiful. Do you have anything to do with your cover art?
Oh, well, thank you for that. No, you know, I think if you're like super, super famous, you can probably, you know, have a say in that. But most authors I know, they have what's called cover consultation, which means, hey, here's the cover. Hope you like it. But fortunately, in my case, my publisher at Clarion Books, which is an imprint of Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, they seem to really do a good job on all of my books, and I particularly love the design element on my latest, which you mentioned. I think it's quite cool.
It is very cool. I like all the covers. They're all unique and they're all different, and somehow they brand you to your books, but I think they're real important. Cover art is important for readers these days, don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what makes you stop and pick up a book sometimes. I know that's what I do. I mean, obviously, you go to your favorite authors, you go to your favorite sections, but a good cover really, really draws you in. A bad cover is kind of like, oh, boy, that's really not cutting it. So, yeah, it's all about branding and first impressions, and, yeah, so I'm very happy with my covers.
Tell me a little bit about you before you decided to write professionally.
Well, for many years I worked in advertising as a writer. You know, I was lucky enough to have a job where I liked doing something that I liked, which was writing. I was happy to make a living, you know, using words. So that was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
That was the majority of my career. I did that for years and years and years. I worked for some of the biggest ad agencies in the country. I wrote ads for McDonald's and United Airlines and Allstate Insurance and so on and so forth. So that was my day job before, and now I'm fortunate enough to write books full time. So it's a dream come true for me. I was always working on a book while I worked in advertising. I would get up early in the morning, go to the coffee shop, write for 2 hours, and then go into the office. So
wow.
I always worked on books, and one day it eventually worked out for me.
Now, you grew up, you kind of had a vagabond life. You were an Air Force brat and moved around?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Indeed. Yeah, it's great.
Were you interested in what people were reading at that time?
As a kid?
Yeah.
I guess for me, you know, moving every 2 years, my dad was in the Air Force, I have a younger brother, and we were big fantasy nerds, so we would read the Lord of the Rings and the Narnia books, and he would draw the pictures, and I would write the words, and, you know, having this life where you move every 2 years, especially when you're in middle school and you're a young kid, it's kind of stressful, because you make friends, and then you leave, you know, and then you make new friends, and I would always find some kind of refuge or solace in the library of a new school. So that's always the place I could go to find new books and kind of, you know, have a little bit more enjoyment from all of the stress of moving every 2 years. So books were always a part of my life, even as a kid.
But always you geared to science fiction and fantasy. Interesting. I've always liked science fiction, and I didn't even know what romance, what fantasy was. I mean, even though I read it, because I read the same books you did as a kid, I didn't know that was, you know, because, you know, you go to a bookstore and you had fiction and nonfiction and self-help and cookbooks. And that was it, you know.
Yeah.
They were all pushed together, not by genre. So I think I read that you were kind of inspired by a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket to go ahead and try your hand at writing young adult. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, I think I may have mentioned that. Yeah, you know, Pam, back in the day, as they say, when I was in advertising, there were many years where I wasn't doing any writing at all. I was just a career man. I was an ad man, right? And but every once in a while, I would try to write a short story, or I would write short stories, and they were literary stories. And I would send them to the New Yorker and the Paris Review and stuff. And every once in a while, I'd get a kind handwritten rejection. But I was the literary kind of snob guy, right? And my brother worked at a Barnes & Noble around the time the Harry Potter books came out. And he called me up and he said, "Hey, Ron, you got to check out these books. They're like the books we read when we were kids, you know, like Narnia and stuff." So I read it, and then I read the Lemony Snicket books, and then I read, you know, Garth Nix and Philip Pullman and all these other great authors. And I was like, wow, maybe I should be writing books for young readers instead of this literary stuff. And that's when it clicked, and that's when I kind of found my voice. And Hoodoo was the book that came out of that revelation. So I should have been writing young adult middle grade books as opposed to literary fiction.
Well, did you ever get published in any literary magazines when you were writing short stories?
Like probably local small ones, not anything to any acclaim. No.
But that's okay. It showed you had writing chops. And that had to, you know, keep you going. But yes, I think the Harry Potter books were a turning point for a lot of people. And in my case, as a reader, not a writer, I think that's those books are what made me recognize the genre of fantasy, that I started reading so many of them. And I loved them.
Right.
And then I discovered the Dresden books, you know, the Jim Butcher's Dresden. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
You know, read those
those
in a row. The first one I read, a bookstore owner gave it to me. He said, "I think you'll like this." I was tired of reading the same old stuff. He said, "Try this one." I went back the next day and I said, "I want every single book in order." And that's how I read them.
Wow. The Dresden Files, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I read when I was a kid, when we were talking about science fiction, a lot of Ray Bradbury is what I really liked a lot. Something Wicked This Way Comes, but his science fiction books like The Martian Chronicles, and he had anthologies, Ours for Rocket, Essence for Space. I just devoured those. The Illustrated Man. He was really a writer that I really, really loved. Just fantastic.
Oh, wow. Let's talk about Hoodoo, because that was your first published book, and I'd like for listeners to get a little bit of an understanding about your style and what it is you like to write about. So tell us about this book.
Well, Hoodoo is my first novel. It's historical fiction. It takes place in like 1920s Alabama, which is where my family is from, my parents. And, you know, they say your first novel usually includes a lot of kind of autobiographical information, and it does to an extent as far as the locale and the food and the slang and a certain feeling and period in time. But I wanted to write about magic and fantasy, and so I started researching hoodoo, which is an African-American folk magic. And after a lot of research, I felt I knew my way around this belief system, you know. So I created a character, a young black kid someone who I had never seen in books when I was young. And he is born into this family that uses this folk magic, but he can't use any magic himself. So a threat comes to the town one day. He has to find the power within himself to stop this threat and save the town and his family. That's it in a nutshell. But the book is full of Southern expressions, Southern slang. I think it's kind of Southern Gothic, you know, and yeah. People called it a horror novel. I never thought of myself as a horror writer, but I'll take it, you know. I saw it as like Southern Gothic, you know.
I think it's Gothic,
so,
too.
Yeah, you know, anything with that sense of unease in the South and the weeping willow trees and the odd characters.
Yeah.
To me, it was absolutely. It was Faulkner,
Truman
Capote.
A little bit of, you know, I don't know. Southerners are so good at telling really kind of creepy stories, and that's what
mm-hmm.
this feels like. It feels like, you know, you're sitting around on someone's porch and somebody's dad is telling you this story, and it's kind of spooky, not
right.
scare the bejesus out of you, but spooky enough, you know. And it
right.
so that's what it feels like to me. So then you
that's
then
great.
You published The Mesmerist, which is just
mm-hmm.
an adorable cover, and you change now to a female
mm-hmm.
protagonist, correct?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, The Mesmerist is another historical novel, that historical fiction that takes place in England in the turn of the century, and it's based around the movement of spiritualism, which was popular at the turn of the century. But my young character, Jessamine, she and her mother are tricksters. They're not really fortune tellers and seance holders, scam artists. But one day my character, Jessamine, really does get a message from the other side, which propels the story into some really creepy, dark places. And it's British, you know, and it's kind of an homage to the British authors I read when I was younger, you know. So I wanted to do something like that. And it wasn't that difficult for me. People asked me, how did you write about England? And then I was like, well, okay, I'll admit it. I like watching the British shows on PBS. And lots of British films. And, you know, so that was very natural to me. It felt natural. So it's one of my favorite books. I really like it a lot.
Oh, it's so much fun. I'm going to end up buying the entire backlist because I've already read
the new one.
I want to move on to one that I think is probably one of your most popular, and that is Marvel's Dark Panther.
Right.
Can you tell, this is The Young Prince. Can you tell us how this happened and how you got involved with writing this book?
Wow. Well, thank you. Yes, it was. I got very, very lucky. a few months before the big movie came out, I got a call from my agent, and she told me that Marvel was interested in having me write a middle grade young adult book about T'Challa the Black Panther before he becomes the Black Panther. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. No, of course I said yes. And
you didn't say
and
that,
it was
you?
Just yeah, it was crazy. I mean, they wanted me to write my own original story. The movie was coming out, but I didn't know what the movie was about. They wouldn't tell me. I had to create a story of the young Black Panther as a kid. So I came up with my original story. Fortunately, they liked it, and it came out right before the movie did. So that was a lot of fun to write. You know, you've got a built-in world already. You've got built-in characters. So I created some of my own and developed an original story. And it was a lot of fun, and I feel really
fortunate
to have
worked on it. And you have the Marvel people backing you on this, who wanted you to write this. That's just so huge, and congratulations. And apparently the reviews are so good on that. That's marvelous. I'm happy for you. Now you have this new book, and I love the name of this because it's such a cute story. I think it's wonderful. The Owls Have Come to Take Us Away. So tell me, where in the world was this little creepy story come from inside you, Ron? And I'm having a feeling you have a very vivid imagination, but it's just an adorable story. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much, Pam. Well, I've always been interested in like the supernatural, paranormal stuff, you know, conspiracy theories. Not that I believe all of it. I just think it's fun to
right.
listen to. And aliens and UFOs are very popular subjects, especially
yes,
with
are.
Kids too.
Yes.
And I just happen to know a lot about it because I'm a super nerd who's watched way too many movies and TV shows and read books about aliens and UFOs. So I said, wow, I know a lot about the Air Force because I grew up on Air Force bases. What if I had this little kid who was interested in UFOs and obsessed with UFOs, and you don't know whether he's delusional or whether there's something else really going on? So that's what the story's about. It's about a young boy named Simon who believes that he's been abducted by aliens, and we don't know if he's telling the truth or if something else is going on. So you do find out, obviously, what happens, but it was a lot of fun to write, and lots of conspiracy theories, which I like a lot. And, yeah, it was a really fun book to
and
write.
Only a 12-year-old could kind of sort of buy into that and be swayed
mm-hmm.
and start imagining things and so on. I have to say, one of your reviews, your editorial review, said, "I hugged this book last night because I love Simon so much," by Aaron Kelly, who is the Newbery Award-winning author, Hello Universe. I felt the same way. It was just so much fun. Even School Library Journal raves about it, an eerie and layered tale with a main character to which young readers will relate. It absolutely is, absolutely. With it's a middle grade X-Files primer, which, you know, in a way, I guess it is. So if you like,
yeah.
And I'm sure you were an X-Files person if you were, you know, I mean, I like all that stuff too. The warehouse and, you know, all of those crazy things that were on Sci-Fi Channel. I used to love watching all that and until I discovered
right.
books and didn't have to,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
I jump right into it. So tell me, when you write, what is your life like when you write? Are you writing every day, Ron? Or are you taking a break because the book is done? Are you already writing I know this was released in February. Are you writing again? Have you clutched the little string, the thread in your mind and said, that's it, that's what I want to do next?
Oh, wow. Well, Pam, I have to tell you, right before this call, I am working on edits of my next book that comes out in 2020 because, you know, from the work you do and the amount of books you read and your background that, you know, books are pretty much happen a year in advance. So even though Owls just came out 2 months ago, I'm already, like, finishing up the next book. So I try to write every day. Sometimes you don't. You know, everybody has a different method, which I'm sure
yes.
you know. Some people say, oh, write 500 words a day, or, oh, write 1,000 words a day. Oh, Stephen King says to do this. You just have
right.
to find what works for you. What works for me
you're,
is...
You're
yeah,
not Stephen King.
Is work,
you're Ron Smith.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so, you know, I work in the mornings, you know, I have some lunch, and then I try to get in a few more hours, but by the end of the late afternoon, I'm beat, you know. And then I have friends
yeah.
who work at night when everything is quiet, when my brain doesn't work anymore after like 5 or 6 o'clock. So I just try to write as much as I can. If I get stuck, I'll go for a walk or, you know, watch a movie or go to a museum or whatever just to get the brain going again. But, you know, everybody has a different method. Pretty crazy. I just go and go and go until I stop.
Well, I tell you what, it works for me. I love your storytelling. And I think you're so creative that I want to mention your website because it's magnificent. The website for Osmano L. Smith is called strangeblackflowers.com. You've got to go and look at it. Trust me when I tell you, it's just a fabulous, fabulous site. And it opens up with a picture of a big black crow, which is just so perfect for your book. It is so perfect
well,
for your book.
Well, if I give a shout out to the web designer, her name is Hafsa Faisal, and she works with Icy Designs, and she has her own YA book coming out very soon called We Hunt the Flame. So that's going to be big.
Oh, how wonderful. I always love finding new fantasy books and things paranormal and supernatural. I love all of it. It's so much fun. I want to say thank you so much, Ron, for being with me. The book, again, is The Owls Have Come to Take Us Away by Ronald L. Smith. He's an award-winning author of middle grade and young adult books. His characters are young, but I'm very old, and I will tell you that I enjoyed it every bit as much as any other kid would. Thank you for being my guest tonight. You're just wonderful, and I'm so glad I had the chance to speak to you.
Oh, thanks so much, Pam. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, and I want to thank everyone for being with me tonight, and thank you, Mom and Dad. I'll see you later.